Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Leslie Kernison, board-certified geriatrician and the founder of the website betterhealthwhileaging.net. And this is the Better Health While Aging video podcast, where we discuss common health problems that affect people over age 60 and the best ways to prevent and manage those problems. This episode is part of a series that I'm doing on blood pressure in aging adults. Now, in a previous episode, I covered what is normal blood pressure versus high blood pressure and how high is too high in older adults. And then I have another episode about how to treat high blood pressure, also called hypertension, in which I cover common medications used to lower blood pressure and also non-drug approaches to lowering blood pressure. So today, in this episode, I'm actually going to cover the other side of the blood pressure spectrum, which is low blood pressure. And I want to talk about what to know about low blood pressure. This is an issue that actually comes up quite often for older adults. So we geriatricians are often checking blood pressure and looking not only to see is the blood pressure too high, but is it maybe a little too low? So I think this is worth understanding if you are somebody who is on medications for blood pressure or if you have ever had concerns about blood pressure being too low. And specifically, here is what I'm going to be talking about in this episode. So I'm going to start off by talking about what counts as low blood pressure. It's also sometimes called hypotension. I'm going to review common causes of low blood pressure in older adults. I'm going to talk about the signs and symptoms of low blood pressure. I'm also going to talk about a particular kind of low blood pressure that is called orthostatic hypotension, really common issue in older adults, and I'm going to explain that. And then I'm going to share with you, my geriatrician's approach to low blood pressure, and I'm going to finish with some suggestions on what you can do if you're concerned. So we're going to get started with that. But before I get into that, I do have a very quick request, which is if you're here and you're finding this topic interesting, or if you've been finding my video podcast interesting, if you haven't yet subscribed, could you please go ahead and subscribe right now? It would really mean a lot to me. It does help me out. It helps other people find the channel when you subscribe, and it helps support the work that I'm doing. Okay, moving on. Let's talk now about normal versus low blood pressure. So as I explained in my first video about blood pressure, normal slash optimal blood pressure is currently defined as being less than 120 over 80 millimeters of mercury. And so the first number in a blood pressure reading is what we call the systolic blood pressure, the pressure when your heart squeezes and pushes a big, a load of blood out of the heart into your aorta, that big blood vessel. And then the second number is the diastolic blood pressure, the blood pressure when your heart is relaxed. So that would be normal or optimal blood pressure. Now, it turns out that hypotension is not officially defined by the current blood pressure guidelines, but it is generally accepted as being a blood pressure that is less than 90 over 60 millimeters of mercury. So then there's also a systolic blood pressure of 90 over 110. Now, when they define optimal blood pressure, they say less than 120, but they don't say how low under a systolic of 120 is still considered optimal. So what I would say is that a systolic of, 90 to 110 is often described as being low blood pressure. Now, this can be asymptomatic and not an issue. I myself actually have a blood pressure that often measures when I go see a doctor with a systolic of 105. So especially in younger people, in people who aren't on medication, there are some older adults who also chronically run a lowish blood pressure like that and otherwise seem fine. That's, that can happen. So whether a blood pressure in that range is concerning does depend on the context. And whether it's causing symptoms. And when I say context, I mean, what is this person's blood pressure usually? Are they on medications? What are their other health conditions that they have? That's some of what we have to consider. So people sometimes tell me, well, so-and-so has a blood pressure, systolic blood pressure of 100. Is that too low? And, they haven't defined the bottom edge of optimal. It's a little on the low side, but at the same time, is the person feeling okay? How old are they? What are their circumstances? Those would be the things that we'd be thinking of. Now, you might be wondering, well, what about the diastolic in all this? How low of a diastolic is too low? The truth is, from a practical perspective, we often don't think all that much about a low diastolic unless a person is having symptoms. And most of the time, when people are having symptoms, it is both the systolic and the diastolic that is low. It's actually fairly common as people get older. And I touched on this briefly in one of my previous videos, that they develop a high systolic number, but still have a quite low diastolic. That's called isolated systolic hypertension, fairly common in older adults. And most of the time, we focus on the top number, the systolic. So often you're going to hear me refer mainly to that when I'm talking about low blood pressure and when to be concerned. So let me now talk about causes. So when blood pressure is very low, we do want to think what might be causing this, because there are some causes that are very important for us to consider. So blood pressure that is very low is definitely a flag and should be investigated. In particular, the sudden onset of very low blood pressure, meaning less than 90 over 60, especially if the systolic is under 80, sudden onset, meaning it has come on, you know, over minutes, hours, you know, even over like a day or two, that's, you know, fairly sudden. That can be a medical emergency, because some of the potential causes include, first of all, something that medically we call hypovolemia, which means low blood volume. This can be caused by bleeding. So we do see this after people have had, you know, accidents. So typically in the emergency room, you know, certainly if somebody has had a bad injury and is bleeding very obviously, or God forbid, you know, a gunshot wound or maybe a car accident, that can cause significant bleeding. Sometimes people have something happen in their bowel, or they get, you know, a blood vessel bursts and starts bleeding. So that can be a form of hypovolemia. And that leads to something that is called hypovolemic shock. Occasionally, very severe dehydration can also cause quite low blood pressure like that. Another condition that can cause very low blood pressure and is very serious is sepsis. So sepsis means an infection that has spread to the bloodstream and is starting to affect the whole body. And when this happens, the body does have this response where blood pressure gets too low. The body actually becomes unable or starts having a lot of difficulty of maintaining the blood pressure correctly. And that can cause organ failure, because your body's main organs do need enough blood flow. So that is called septic shock. Also, some other potential causes of sudden, relatively sudden, very low blood pressure: anaphylaxis, a type of very severe allergic reaction, can cause it. Heart attacks, you know, if your heart has an attack and can't pump the blood the way it should, then your blood pressure can collapse. A little less common, actually a lot less common, I would say, is a crisis related to your adrenal glands. So those are some of the potential causes. The takeaway is that blood pressure that is very low or suddenly much lower than usual does warrant urgent evaluation. You know, do not delay to get it checked out, because it could be something very, very serious. And we especially want to check on it if the person has had recently a fall or an injury or, you know, sudden pain or symptoms. Now, let me briefly speak to an interesting form of very low blood pressure, which is actually a temporary form of very low blood pressure, and that is called the vasovagal response. This is a neural reflex that happens within the body that briefly causes the blood pressure to drop quite a lot. And the reflex itself is not the sign of anything dangerous or bad in the body. What's dangerous about having this happen is that during that moment of sudden, very low blood pressure, people can pass out and fall and hit their heads. So this is sometimes preceded by symptoms like lightheadedness, nausea, sweating, getting pale. It can be confused with a heart attack. And interestingly, it is sometimes triggered by certain activities, including urinating, peeing, or defecation, passing a bowel movement. And this actually is a quite common cause of passing out, and it does affect older adults. So now, normally by the time they are found on the ground, their blood pressure is no longer dangerously low. And especially if an older person has hit their head, they probably should go to the emergency room and get checked out. So that's a sort of interesting temporary form of low blood pressure that does affect people. Let me now talk about common causes of blood pressure that is not very low, but is low. So again, in the range of a systolic blood pressure of 90 to 110, especially in older adults. So probably the most common cause is medication. High blood pressure is the most common chronic condition among older adults, and so lots of older people are also taking medications for blood pressure. And so sometimes being on those medications, their blood pressure can end up in this range that is pretty low. And as I'm going to explain, you know, might be a little lower than it needs to be. So especially blood pressure medications. However, there are other medications that are not prescribed for blood pressure that also affect blood pressure. So an example would be tamsulosin. The brand name is Flomax. It's often prescribed. It's a vasodilator type of medication. So it expands not only your blood vessels, but your urethra. And it's prescribed for an enlarged prostate, benign prostatic hypertrophy, to help men urinate. Another potential cause of lowish blood pressure in older adults would be dehydration. You know, mild to moderate dehydration could do this as well. Another cause to consider is something that is called autonomic insufficiency. So your autonomic nervous system is a system of nerves, sensors and nerves that change muscles in your body that is not under your voluntary control. It actually affects the nerves, the muscles in your blood vessels that makes them expand or tighten. It also is involved in your flight or fight response, your rest and digest response. So that is the autonomic nervous system. And in some people, it starts to malfunction, either because the sensors aren't working well or because the signals that tell parts of your body, including your blood vessels, to squeeze or relax, stop working as well. And so that can also cause chronically low blood pressure. So this kind of malfunction is associated with conditions such as Parkinson's, Lewy body disease, and a few other neurodegenerative conditions. It can also be associated with diabetes, because when people have diabetes for many, many years, it starts to damage nerves in the body. And not only the sort of nerves that, you know, cause feeling in your toes or maybe your hands, but also the nerves that are involved in this autonomic nervous system that is regulating many of your unconscious bodily functions. Autonomic insufficiency can also cause something that is called postprandial hypotension. So postprandial means after eating, and this is having a pretty significant drop in blood pressure that happens 1 to 2 hours after eating. And that is also associated with dysregulation of the autonomic system and how it manages blood pressure. So those are some common causes. And then, you know, some other things that can certainly affect blood pressure and cause lowish blood pressure in an older person, blood loss. So, you know, before I mentioned severe blood loss after, you know, an accident or a major injury, but older adults sometimes have just slow and steady blood loss. It can be an oozing ulcer in their bowel somewhere, or, you know, sometimes from a tumor in the bowel, or it can be from somewhere else in the body. Another potential cause would be heart failure, especially when it's severe. If the heart isn't pumping strongly, blood pressure can end up being chronically low. Another potential cause would be advanced liver disease, liver cirrhosis, and then also problems with your hormones, with what we call your endocrine system, like problems with the adrenals or certain other hormonal problems, can also lead to lowish blood pressure. That is a chronic condition. So those are some of the common causes of lowish blood pressure in older adults. Now, let me talk a little bit about orthostatic hypotension. What is orthostatic hypotension? It's something that geriatricians pay a lot of attention to because it affects a lot of older adults. So this basically is a condition where people experience a drop in blood pressure when they stand or change their body's position. So this is partly related to in a normal, healthy, functioning human body, you have a system of sensors to detect the position of your body and relax or squeeze your blood vessels as needed to keep a relatively constant blood pressure. Because otherwise, when you go from sitting to standing, a lot of blood will fall into your legs because of gravity. So the body is kind of designed to tighten things up a little bit so that it doesn't drop too much, because otherwise, if all the blood goes down to the ground, you do not have enough blood flow to your head, and that would make you lightheaded and dizzy. So that's how the body is supposed to work. And as we get older, that whole system tends to work less well. So defining orthostatic hypotension, it is technically a drop in your systolic blood pressure of 20 millimeters of mercury or more, or a drop in your diastolic blood pressure of 10 millimeters of mercury or more. And these orthostatic drops in blood pressure become very common as we age. It's estimated that this affects about 25% of older adults and an even higher proportion of the ones who are in the hospital or are in nursing homes. So it's of a special interest to us in geriatrics because that moment of lightheadedness when people first stand up or change position, and this lightheadedness can last for a few minutes, can cause falls and near falls. So it's an important condition to know about when it comes to older adults. And I also want to mention that it is, because it's associated with this change in posture, it is also sometimes referred to as postural hypotension. So what causes this? So as I said, you know, aging in and of itself does cause it. But often in older adults, there are multiple causes at the same time that are kind of adding up together. That's very common in geriatrics. Many problems are what we call multifactorial. So causes might include being on medications. Many medications not only lower blood pressure in general, but slow that reflex that the body has to make adjustments when we change position. Dehydration or another form of low blood volume can also cause or worsen an orthostatic response when we stand up. Autonomic insufficiency, a vasovagal component. So essentially the things that can cause lowish blood pressure in general might also cause somebody to, perhaps they don't have such lowish blood pressure when they are sitting, but when they stand up, they experience this this drop. And again, also just as we age, that causes a slowing of that whole system of reflexes and responses that is supposed to keep our blood pressure steady as we change position. So how do we check for orthostatic hypotension? So ideally, what we are supposed to do is have an older person lie down for 5 minutes, check their blood pressure, and then have them stand up, and then check their blood pressure after 1 to 3 minutes. And when I say blood pressure, for any of these, you want to be writing down the blood pressure and also the pulse, because in medicine, we always think about blood pressure and heart rate together. And you need the heart rate to thoroughly interpret blood pressure generally. So that's how we would do it ideally. Now, in common practice, what we often will especially focus on is the change when they go from sitting to standing. So often we already have a sitting blood pressure when somebody has come to the clinic. Hopefully it has been done with good technique. And so then we might have them stand up and check again within 1 to 2 minutes. Do you have to wait a minute before you check again? Not necessarily. I mean, if it's less than a minute, I think it's okay. And we want to be asking also as we do it, when they stand up, are they actually experiencing any symptoms? Are they feeling lightheadedness, dizzy, like they might be about to fall? That's relevant as well. So that's how we would check for orthostatic hypotension. Let me now speak a little bit about the signs and symptoms of low blood pressure. So whether a person has symptoms and what they are is going to depend on a couple things. One is how low is the blood pressure? How low is it in absolute terms? How much lower is it than their usual blood pressure? And what is the underlying cause of their low blood pressure? Very low systolic blood pressure, such as a systolic blood pressure under 80, often causes passing out or collapse. And as I said, is often a medical emergency. Lowish blood pressure may or may not cause symptoms, but some of the symptoms that we might that a person might experience include fatigue, just feeling tired, especially when they're standing up and moving around, lightheadedness, again, especially when they're standing up, falls and near falls. And then I was mentioning that we want to think about, you know, heart rate along with blood pressure. So low blood pressure often causes a fast heart rate. That's because a normal body, if it realizes that blood pressure is low, a normal heart will speed up to try to compensate and help increase blood pressure. And basically, the body knows we got to get blood to all the organs. So if blood pressure is low, the heart is like, oh, I got to work a little like faster to keep things moving around and keep the organs getting the blood flow they need. So that's what it's supposed to do. That said, this response assumes that the heart is able to respond appropriately. But often as we get older, there are reasons why we might not have this heart rate response. Some older people are on medications that slow their heart rate. For instance, if they have atrial fibrillation, there are various diseases and chronic conditions that can also lead to slow heart rate. And actually, if you would like to learn more about slow heart rate, I have a video about that, about bradycardia and slow heart rate and when to consider a pacemaker. And also, you know, to a certain extent, normal aging can slow the heart rate response as well. So especially when it comes to low blood pressure, we often want to know, well, is the heart rate also low or is it sped up? You know, is it faster? And that's why you always want to report heart rate along with blood pressure. Just record them in your journal. And if you are relaying them to a health provider, you want to relay both. So those would be some signs and symptoms of low blood pressure. But again, you know, sometimes it causes no symptoms at all. So given that, how should we approach low blood pressure in older adults? So let me speak right now to the approach that I use and that I think a lot of geriatricians use. So generally in geriatrics, we're going to be dealing with low-ish blood pressure, where most of us are not in the emergency room dealing with very low blood pressure. Somebody comes to the clinic and has very low blood pressure like that, we're going to treat it, you know, more as a sort of emergency. But for low-ish blood pressure, I would say we do two things. So one is that we're proactive. We're proactive about noticing it. So if systolic blood pressure is less than 120 millimeters of mercury, it's optimal. Yay. But before I think yay, I usually take a closer look at it and I initiate some additional checks. So first of all, I ask, has the person been feeling okay? And I'm especially interested, do they ever experience lightheadedness or unsteadiness after they are standing? I might actually check them for an orthostatic drop, have them stand up and see what their blood pressure is. I should say, actually, when, you know, if there's a low reading, whenever there's a reading of anything that surprises you, the first thing to do is to check it again, see if it's real. But if it is, I'm asking about symptoms, checking for an orthostatic drop in blood pressure, reviewing medications, considering the possibility, could they be dehydrated? And I would consider reducing medications that affect blood pressure or falls. I mean, I would think of it as, huh, especially if the person is on medication for blood pressure, maybe they're on a little bit more than they need. Now, it depends, of course, you know, what is the blood pressure reading? If their systolic blood pressure is 118, they're feeling totally fine, that's okay. If it's 105 when they're sitting down, even if they're feeling totally fine, if they are on medication or anything that's lowering their blood pressure, I might think, well, do we really need you to be so low? Because it does seem awfully low to me. And as we consider this, we do want to consider their past blood pressure readings, including the heart rate. We want to know what has this person's trend in blood pressure been. And so this is one of many reasons why I think it's great to have a home blood pressure monitor, actually. So you can have a few additional data points, and that's really useful for your health providers. They consider your blood pressure. So that's the proactive approach. And then there's the way we react. And specifically, if an older person comes in with symptoms that could potentially be related to low blood pressure, we think of low blood pressure or orthostatic hypotension, and we check on that and consider whether we want to make an intervention. So if they're having symptoms such as falls, near falls, fear of falling, fatigue, dizziness, unsteadiness, or reduced mobility or physical activity, as geriatricians, we often think, huh, could low blood pressure be playing a role in this? Now, the thing about these symptoms is a couple of things. So first of all, these symptoms are very common in older adults, and they are nonspecific, meaning there are all kinds of things that could cause these problems. Now, being geriatricians, some health providers, when an older person has these symptoms, are like, oh, it's aging, what do you expect? We don't treat these symptoms that way. These are common symptoms in older adults, but we do not wave them off to normal aging. We look into it and see what are our underlying causes and contributors, what can we do or adjust, because these are important symptoms that affect older people's quality of lives and ability to participate in their lives. But I will say, these are nonspecific symptoms that often have multiple underlying causes or can have several underlying causes. And so we also don't want to just assume, oh, this is just low blood pressure. There can be so many things that cause fatigue, low red blood cell count, which actually anemia, which actually, if it gets really bad, can also cause lowish blood pressure, come to think of it. But yes, you know, I think what we bring as geriatricians is that if an older person has this kind of symptom, we might take another look. What was their blood pressure when they came in? We might double check it. If it's lowish, we might think, well, let's see if we can get your blood pressure a little higher and maybe some of these symptoms will get better. So yeah, so for these symptoms, we think blood pressure, but we also want to do our work well and look into other possibilities to correctly evaluate and manage these kinds of symptoms. So I've mentioned checking medications a few times because that is, again, one of the most common causes of an older person having lowish blood pressure, which may or may not be causing symptoms. So I just want to speak for a little bit about the kinds of medications we especially look for in this situation. So first of all, any medication prescribed for high blood pressure, right? By definition, it's meant to lower your blood pressure. So in particular, as I explained in one of my previous videos, the ones that are first line for treating high blood pressure in older adults and in any adults really are calcium channel blockers, thiazide diuretics, ACE inhibitors, ARBs, angiotensin receptor blockers. We also want to consider other medications prescribed for heart conditions. There are medications that are prescribed for heart conditions, not specifically necessarily for high blood pressure, but other types of heart conditions, such as beta blockers, such as nitroglycerin. There are other vasodilating medications that are meant to, again, either relax your blood vessels or relax other parts of the body, specifically such as the urethra for men who have an enlarged prostate. So tamsulosin, terazosin, these are medications that are prescribed for an enlarged prostate. They also relax your blood vessels. Drugs for erectile dysfunction, such as sildenafil, Viagra, also vasodilates and can contribute to low blood pressure. Other diuretics, medications designed to make you pee more and release fluid from the body. These are often prescribed for conditions such as kidney disease or heart failure. And then there are certain diabetes drugs that also work by causing the body to urinate a little bit more. And so those two can, you know, affect blood pressure. Lastly, antidepressants, including SSRI type antidepressants, have been associated in some studies with orthostatic hypotension. So that's another type of medication to potentially consider. They also have actually been associated with a bit of an increase in falls as well, although not as much as certain other medications. So given that, what should you do if you are concerned about blood pressure? So I would say that my first question would be, well, Are you experiencing symptoms that could potentially be related to low blood pressure or not? So if you or a person you're concerned about are experiencing symptoms, I would definitely let your health provider know you're concerned about the symptoms and wondering if it could be related to blood pressure. And the you should ask about coming in for an evaluation. And what is going to be really, really helpful if you have this concern is if you can use a good home blood pressure monitor to check your blood pressure. Don't forget to write down your pulse when you notice symptoms. And also log your symptoms and when you get them, right? Like how many times a day? What are you doing when they come on? What are the symptoms? If there's any possibility of dehydration, you can try increasing your fluid intake to help with that. And then what's going to be very helpful along with your blood pressure at the time when you're feeling the symptoms is if you bring in other blood pressure readings, ideally at a time maybe when you're not feeling symptoms. So, you know, checking your blood pressure every day at the same time for several days in a row is going to provide a nice kind of background blood pressure for your health providers to work with, and it will help them interpret what your blood pressure is when you are having these symptoms. And that'll help them sort out whether your symptoms are due to low blood pressure or not. And then when you come to see your health provider, bring all your medications, not just your blood pressure medications, everything. Just bring everything in a bag so that it can be looked at and so that your health providers can identify whether your medications might be contributing to this issue. Now, what if you have no symptoms? What if you've just noticed that your blood pressure is sometimes kind of low when you check it yourself with your home monitor or at the doctor's office? So if it's low systolic blood pressure, you know, less than 110, but no symptoms. So first of all, I would say get more data points. Check your blood pressure daily at the same time for several days to see, is this a sort of temporary blip? Is this something that happens to you a lot? Because you'll want to confirm that your blood pressure is often low. If you're on medication for high blood pressure, especially if you're older, getting, you know, above age 75, certainly above age 80, you might be on more blood pressure medication than you need. So I would suggest asking your health provider to have a visit where you can discuss your blood pressure treatment, including what your blood pressure goal should be, and talk about, you know, whether it might make sense to try dialing back the medication a little bit and following up on your blood pressure. So for that appointment also, I recommend bringing all your medications when you come to that appointment. You can also ask your provider when you're there, if you've noticed lowish blood pressure, if they can check for orthostatic blood pressure changes, if they can check for that drop when you stand up during the visit as well. So let me know, recap. That's pretty much everything I have to share about low blood pressure. So let me recap my key points for you. So again, normal optimal blood pressure is less than 120 over 80. And hypotension is generally defined as blood pressure less than 90 over 60. And then I consider systolic blood pressure of 90 to 110 as low, especially in older adults. This can cause no symptoms and be not an issue, especially when it comes to younger people who aren't on medication. But it's more likely to be concerning in older adults who, first of all, are often on medications that affect their blood pressure and are much more likely to be experiencing symptoms, including falls, near falls, dizziness, unsteadiness when they stand up. Any new very low blood pressure usually causes symptoms and is often a medical emergency. That vasovagal response, that neural reflex that temporarily drops your blood pressure is common, can cause a temporary significant blood pressure drop. It is a common cause of passing out. But also orthostatic hypotension is common in older adults. And again, that's that drop of 20 millimeters of mercury systolic withstanding or 10 millimeters of mercury diastolic. And it can cause symptoms such as falls and lightheadedness. And so if we notice it in our older patients in geriatrics, that often leads us to try to review medications, dial something back if possible, or see if there's any way that we can reduce that phenomenon and help the person feel more comfortable. Another strategy is also to just be a little bit more slower and methodical as you stand up. It's my opinion that low blood pressure, a systolic of 90 to 110, should be investigated in older adults and not just waved off as, great, they're under 120, you know, we're at awful. Consider the role of medications, dehydration, autonomic insufficiency, plus other causes. So my own approach is if somebody, one, you know, who sees me has a systolic blood pressure less than 120, I notice, I investigate, I ask some more questions. Are they experiencing symptoms? Should we check for an orthostatic drop? You know, looking at the medications, should we dial back any high blood pressure treatment? Could there be a possibility of dehydration? I think about things like that. And then I do consider the role of low blood pressure. If a person, an older adult, is experiencing symptoms that could be caused by low blood pressure, such as falls, fatigue, lightheadedness, unsteadiness, and reduced mobility. So if you're concerned, I highly recommend letting your health provider know. I recommend having a home blood pressure monitor to check your blood pressure when you feel symptoms, and also to gather a few more data points that you can provide to your health providers. Don't forget to jot down the heart rate along with the blood pressure when you are logging things in your blood pressure log. And that's what I have for low blood pressure today. So with that, thank you so much for watching. And if you found this video podcast helpful, if you're here on YouTube, please go ahead and subscribe. It does help more people find the channel. If you've been listening to the audio version on the podcast feed, come and take a look at the video if you get a chance. You'll see my key points being displayed on the screen. So thank you once again. And I look forward to seeing you all again on a future episode of the Better Health While Aging video podcast.